Morning. Well, before we begin, since I just found out that I was supposed to bring the word about half hour ago, but I know this, I have faith to know that the Lord goes before me. So I'm just going to ask you to pray right now that the Spirit of the Lord would reveal what he would want us to learn in these passages today, okay? Because we're all going to be learning together. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you today and we give you thanks first and foremost for your Son, Jesus. Lord, it's through him and faith that we have fellowship one with another as brothers and sisters today. So, Lord, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would fall on each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would fall on me right now, Father, as I come to learn as I teach. And so many times I've seen you do that in me and through me, Father, and I just ask that you would do it today, that you would be glorified. Lord, that some nugget of truth and wisdom and passion would pour forth from my lips today for your glory. Lord, I am not afraid, and I have nothing to be afraid of. You have given us perfect love. So today, Father, it's going to be all about you. And it should be that way every day. So, Lord, we just ask that you be glorified. We ask that you would be with each and every one of us, Father, and wherever the word of the Lord is being proclaimed today, Father, we ask that your Spirit would just let those ears that need to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus. Lord, be with our brothers in jail. Those throughout the world may be hearing your message for the very first time. Father, we just pray that you would manifest yourself to people in a new and different way. And Father, that your kingdom would be grown for your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Could I have you all stand as we read the word today? And I'm going to be reading out of the New International Version. And we're going to start at Luke chapter 12, verse 49. And these are the words of Jesus himself. So verse 49, it says, "I've come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under it until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." You may be seated. You know, and I read that, and first thing that comes to my mind when I read that is about coming judgment. Amen? So many times we have this picture of Jesus coming as a baby in a manger, and as gentle as a lamb. But he's telling us that there's going to come a time when he's coming, riding a pale horse, carrying a sword, with his white robes dipped in the blood of his enemies. Amen. But I also see there's encouragement in these verses as well. Because these verses are telling us that his Spirit is in us. And if you look at this, it says, "I have come to bring fire on the earth." And if you look back at God's deliverance of his people out of Egypt in Exodus chapter 13, how did God lead his people? By day it was a column of clouds, but by night it was a column of fire, wasn't it? It was a column of fire. God loves us, and he wants to manifest himself in us, and he's done that throughout the scriptures in fire. If anybody's ever been through my premarital counseling, they know that we do it on the Song of Solomon. In the Song of Solomon, let me get to it real quick, chapter 8, verse 6, and I love this verse. And it says this. It says, place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death. Its jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like a blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Many waters cannot quench love. Rivers can't sweep it away. If one were to give all the wealth of his house for love, it would be utterly despised. In the Song of Solomon, that blazing fire, that unquenchable fire is love. And God came through his son Jesus to give us this unquenchable fire, this love. And if you look at the Ten Commandments, how many of those verses through those Ten Commandments begin with love? The first two are the greatest ones, right? So God is a God of love. Get back to where I was going. So I take great comfort in knowing that my God loves me and he wants what's best for me. But he's also warning us that there's going to be hard times to come because of him. Remember what he told his disciples? People are going to hate you because of me, but remember this, they hated me first. Right? And we're to be a people set apart. And when we're a people set apart, we're going to be hated for it. Because we're not going with the norm. We're going with what God's word tells us. Amen? And we've already seen so much animosity towards people of faith here in the last, I don't know how many years, but it seems like it's been a trend for quite a while where you get ridiculed for even saying the name of Jesus. They come up with these nice little slogans for holidays that we celebrate the birth and the death and the resurrection of him. And they want to change the name to something secular like a winter holiday or something else, you know, and it's not Christmas or it's not Easter. But God, through Jesus, knew what he had sent his son to do. Jesus knew it all along. How many times did he warn his disciples about what was coming? You know, and we read the chapter of Romans chapter 8, verse 21 or 28, and it says, you know, and we know that God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Well, we so many times think that means that when we come to know Jesus, then everything that's going to happen in our lives is going to be wonderful, right? Well, if you look at the life of Jesus, that wasn't so much in his favor, was it? He was mocked, ridiculed, beaten, scorned, and hung on a cross to die. See, Jesus had to go through a little fire too. There's another quality about fire. It's purifying, isn't it? It burns away all the chaff. And it purifies us like gold. And I remember when I first started coming to Harvest and Maury was teaching on purification and fire. And he made this comment one time about him and a buddy was out and they were having a cookout in the backyard and they were grilling steaks. And he says, now I know why burning flesh is a pleasing aroma to God. Right? When we undergo the fire and purification starts in us and all that chaff and all those things that are worthless in God's eyes start burning away from us, God is making us in his image. Remember that illustration about the guy that was purifying gold and he had heated that pot of gold up and it was melted and it was bringing all the impurities to the top and he was skimming all that stuff away and the guy that was watching him said, well, how do you know when your work's done? He says, when I can see myself. And if we're created into God's image, when the purification is done with us, then we're going to look like Jesus. But in order to do that, we're going to go through some hard things. But they're teachable things. Many hardships lead to areas of ministry for each and every one of us. I can look back on my own personal life, and I can look back on the lives of a lot of my friends, and through those times, their hardest and darkest times in their lives, God has used those things in order to give them the ability to minister to other people that are going through them as well. Some of our great friends, two different families, lost two sons in a car wreck, I think March 9th, I believe. Gary and Julie Bluebaum and Matt and Lori Corner lost sons that day. And it was the hardest thing that any parent would ever go through, I know. It was the hardest thing God went through too, by the way, when he lost his son. But through those things, they now have the Pay It Forward Foundation. And they're ministering to people, and they're using their gifts and their talents and what they've been through to help other people. God uses those things that we've went through to prepare us for a ministry that he's got in store for us as well. I believe that with all my heart. God never wastes a hurt. It's something I've heard Pete Aldridge saying a million times. And through his adversity, through his sin and his overcoming of that sin, he founded the Lighthouse. I don't know how many people it's helped in their recovery from drug and alcohol addictions, but it's been a lot. But he had to go through a baptism too. Just like Jesus had to endure the cross, and he had to go to death to defeat Satan. And by the way, if you want to look it up, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. You've heard me talk about that a few times when I'm here because it had so much power for me. And it says this, since God's children are flesh and blood, he too became flesh and blood so that by his death he might destroy him who holds power over death, that is Satan. So thus freeing those who have been held in bondage their whole lives by the fear of death. God sent his son to suffer and die that we might be free. But it wasn't just about freeing us. It was about, well, what did he say about to his disciples about him going away? If I don't go away, then the Holy Spirit, the great comforter, can't come. By the way, that's another symbolic thing that's represented by fire too, right? The day of Pentecost, remember that? When the disciples, after Jesus had been crucified, died, and raised again, the disciples were all meeting in the upper room, and it says that a loud rushing wind with tongues of fire came down upon them, and they received the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. That fire that came to them was the Holy Spirit. And once they got that fire on them, what happened? They weren't just cowering away in a little room anymore. They began to speak boldly about the Lord Jesus Christ and what had happened to him and what would happen to those people that were hearing if they just believed. That Holy Spirit fire transformed them. And through hardship and persecution and everything else that they had endured, they remained steadfast. Because they knew. They had seen with their very eyes what happens with those people who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and they do not shrink away. They had watched the man that they had followed for 3 years suffer and die on a cross. But they had also seen him defeat the grave. Remember what the angel told Mary? Why are you seeking the living among the dead? That spirit brought him out of that grave and brought him to life. And that spirit that falls on each and every one of us will give us life as well. And not just in our mortal bodies, but for eternity. I'm so thankful for heaven. Amen. Because each day I walk, and I begin to remember those that we've lost, those that we've loved, who steadfast in their faith, that have gone on. And we just witnessed Billy Graham's passing. Can you imagine what kind of celebration is going on in heavenly right now? But every day, I get up and I think on these old saints that have gone before us. My feet get a little lighter. And sometimes I wish that I had already passed through that veil myself, just like Jesus is saying here. He wished that this time had already come, right? Just like when he was in the garden, he was praying to the Father, "Father, if it's your will, take this cup from me. But not my will, your will be done," right? He had an baptism to undergo. And he was under constraint. It says, "But what constraint am I under until it's completed?" And that's the kind of the thing it is with us in this life. Remember, I think it was Peter that said that we're to be alert and self-controlled because the devil is lurking around looking for someone to devour. We're under constraints, right? I don't know about you, but I see things going on in this world right now, and it makes me mad. Sometimes I want to say something, and I'm thinking, well, that would destroy my witness. So I don't. But can you imagine what it's going to be like when we get to heaven and every restraint is taken off of us, and we can just be free to worship the Lord? What a day that'll be, amen. And then we get down to verse 51. And then Jesus changes a little bit of the direction he's going there. He says, "Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on there will be five in one family divided against each other. Three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father. Mother against mother, a daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter, so forth, so on." So we see all these things happening in our present day, don't we? It used to be when I grew up that, I don't know what happened there. When I grew up, we had shows like Leave It to Beaver, Father Knows Best. Well, now you turn on the TV and who's the big dummy in the family unit? It's the father, isn't it? Kids are disrespectful and talking back and doing their own thing. Even the government gets involved in it and kind of undermines the family unit itself. I think I heard a thing on the radio where a mother had sent a sack lunch with her daughter to school. And school took her sack lunch away from her and made her eat school cafeteria food because the school deemed that that wasn't appropriate or a healthy meal for their own daughter. Undermining there in that child's mind eye that, okay, mom doesn't know what's good for me. The government does. And it just seems like it keeps going on and on. And we see all these things happening in our life and our world today. We've seen another school shooting happen. We see a troubled young man who authorities knew very well, but nothing seemed to get in the way of him being incarcerated or getting the help that he deserved. We see people angry because lawmakers are offering up thoughts and prayers to those victims. What good does prayers do? And when I see all these things going, taking place, in my mind and my heart, I cry out, "God, come quickly." But I know that there's still work that needs to be done on this earth. I know that there's going to be opposition to people of faith and what we believe. But that doesn't negate us from doing what we've been called to do. And that's to make disciples of all nations, to showing them love. 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says this, but mark this, that there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, and without love, unforgiving, slanderous, and without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. It says, have nothing to do with these type of people. We see all this stuff going on in our world, and we see the last days playing out. And he's going to come like a thief in the night, is he not? And Jesus has spoken many parables about being ready. We need to be ready. God loves you, and he wants you to be with him in heaven someday. But we need to stay the course. We understand and know that people are against us. Jesus said they were against me too. But with that being said, we still have to love. That's how God's people will be known, right? Jesus said this, a new command after he was raised from the dead, he said this, a new command I give unto you. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, men might know that you truly are my followers, if you love one another. See, the world may hate us. The world may mock us and make fun of us. But our inner peace is not determined by outside influences, right? It is through that spirit that lives in us, that fire that's in our hearts. And that fire should manifest itself outwardly to those who are hurting. I've seen a lot of mean and angry people in my life when I was ministering in that jail. But I've also seen the flame of the love of God just reach right down inside of them and transform their hearts as well. And it's amazing to watch. And you, brothers and sisters, have that power in you to bring that flame to those people who are in the darkness. This one individual, I'll just tell you this one story and I'll close. One individual, we had just came back off of vacation, and when I was reading the newspaper, I read a sad story about an angry young man who had went to his ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend's house, and he pumped five shotgun slugs into the man's chest and killed him. And I had never met the young man before, and that was at a time when they allowed us to go back and go into the actual cell blocks with these guys. And I walked into the cell block and I went and sat across from him. He had bunks on two sides of the cell. Two bunk beds over here, and he's sitting over here. And I sat over here opposite of him. And I look at him, and he's just an angry young man. He's, I think, more scared than he was angry. He was only 19 years old. And I just remember looking into his eyes and seeing the pain. And I began to share with him about God's love. No matter what he's done, God loves him. He has a plan and a purpose for his life. And as we began to share the gospel with him, I began to see that pain surrendering to love and to peace. And the tears began to flow. And he said, I need what you have. I'm willing. Show me how. And Ronnie Lentz was with me. And Ronnie began to share with him what it meant to be a Christian and how we come to faith in Jesus. And that man surrendered his life to the Lord that day. And throughout his time in Davis County, before he got sentenced to 60 years in prison, he began to be transformed by that Holy Spirit fire. And he began to lead Bible studies in his cell block. And by the time he left Davis County, he had probably about 20 guys that would come and they would pray every night together in that block. And I haven't had any contact with him since he went to prison, but I have had contact with his family members. And they send me a card every once in a while talking about his time at Davis County and the faith that he received through Jesus Christ there and how that strengthened him. But each and every one of us has a story to tell. We have the gospel message in our hearts because we accepted it. Amen? And you have the power to change somebody's destiny. And it's very easy. Jesus loves you unconditionally. He takes you just exactly where you're at, but he doesn't leave you there. His Spirit comes upon you, and he transforms you from the inside out. And if you're willing to take a chance on God, God's going to take a chance on you. He already did. He already gave his life for you. And if you're here today and you needed to hear this message, we're here for you and we'd love to pray for you. We have a lot of people here that would love to be able to pray with you. Whatever you're going through, maybe you're a believer and you just need extra prayer. This is a house of prayer after all. I know Merlin and Sean and some of the other guys here, Terry, some of the ladies, Barb, my wife, Yolanda's here, different ones. We will pray with you if you have a need or an issue that you want prayer for today. Don't, please, and we got a few visitors here today, please do not leave this place without receiving what you came here for. Because eternity is a long time to ponder what you should have done. Amen. We love you. We have no, you know, I'm going to tell you something, guys. I know these people love you, and the way I know that is because they loved me. And if they can love me, you're a piece of cake, I'm telling you. Amen. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you, and we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus. Lord, he understood and knew full well what he was going to have to endure. But the name that you gave him, even before he was born through the prophets, tell us what his mission was. Emmanuel, God with us. You didn't want to leave us alone, so you sent your Son to die on the cross for us, that we might have life and have it to the full and have it for eternity. And Lord, I can't wait to get to heaven someday. But Lord, just like you said, you knew you had to go through a baptism, and we all have to go through a baptism ourselves. Some of us are going through it right now. So Father, for those that are going through their baptism, I just ask, Father, that you would strengthen them by your Holy Spirit. Father, let the fire of your Spirit and the love of your Spirit fall upon each and every man, woman, and child here today. Lord, that they might be transformed. And for those who are being persecuted for their faith, Father, we ask that you would just give them strength. And Father, we know the outcome. We know what the end of the book of the Bible says. We know who wins. So Lord, we just ask that you would give us strength to persevere under trial, that we might stay steadfast and firm in our belief and in our faith in you, Lord. For those who are here today, maybe they don't have that relationship with you, Father, but they want it. Father, we just ask that you would just let your Holy Spirit work in their lives. And if they have a need and they want to come to know Jesus, I pray that they would come and talk to each and every one of us or any one of us, because we can all introduce you to the one we put our faith in. And Lord, as we get ready to partake of communion today, Father, we think upon your sacrifice, that baptism that you went through, through your death and your resurrection, Father, we know that you were victorious. But you said that when we drink of this cup and we take of this bread, we do this in remembrance of you. So, Lord, as we come to take Holy Communion today, Father, we examine our hearts and our lives and we lay everything down on the altar for your name's sake. Father, we ask that as a body and as a people that you would be honored and glorified through us, in us, into us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.